And I want to take you to verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. One of the foundation stones of the body of Christ is being exposed today. And I believe that you take this home and take it into your heart, it will shatter maybe a little percentage of the unbelief that torments people periodically. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He is calling Elijah." And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine, vinegar, but put it on a stick, offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." I like that part, because it's exposing their unbelief, even in Elijah. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Is that what your Bible says? Might have a slight different variation. But the reality is, that's one of the foundation stones of Christianity. If you and I do not believe in a resurrection, then we need to make an adjustment in our minds. Because it's a reality. The saints that got out of their tombs, how long had they been dead? We don't know. But we know they went from death to life. Now, if they were visible at that time, is it possible for you and I to see in that realm and see them? Yes. The harmony that came into the church at that time also brought great division. It united those that had a belief in the resurrection, and it divided those that didn't. And St. Paul takes us a little deeper in different verses. Acts chapter 17, verse 3. "Explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Then in Romans 1, verse 4. Romans 1, verse 4. "And who brought the Spirit of holiness to declare with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 4, 25. "He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Wow. He was raised to life for our justification. You see, the cancellation of what you and I have done was completed by his resurrection. And we were justified, and we are justified by faith. It's also confirmed in Romans 6:9. Then Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's important to speak, it's important to declare, and then to believe. Yes, my friend.
My cousins. And he actually did see the other side.
First Corinthians 15:4. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The forecast of his resurrection was designed by God so that there would be a word available to confirm what Jesus had done. I'm going to take you a little deeper. Daniel 12:2. Daniel 12:2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. That tells you both the believers and the unbelievers will rise. Are you getting ready for that resurrection day? I pray you are. John 5:28. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice. Not some. All. Amen? Verse 29. And come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Acts 24:15. And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. You say, why are you talking about that? Well, because of something that happened to me many years ago. It had been several days that my dad had passed away. The grave was still visible where they had opened the ground and you could see the outline. And the Lord had given me a Bible to take with me because there was a real press before I left the house to make sure that I have my Bible with me. I had no idea what he was going to do. But I know I was commissioned to go to the gravesite. Because there's something about releasing the natural in order for the spirit to come to life. Okay? And I had to let go of the natural, even though my flesh was still grieving. Amen? Come again?
Because it costs something.
Yes, it does. And I'm not choosing to give this information because of Maria, but Maria right now has lost someone that was very close to her. And it's only a few months and it's still very raw. When you lose somebody, it takes time for the healing to take place. And God was kind of working overtime to shake me a little. He wanted me to come out of my emotions, and he wanted me to step into the realm of the Spirit. I can remember getting out of the car and praying in the Spirit because I couldn't control the emotions. The tears were rolling out in spite of me. And when those tears are rolling, you'd like to control it. You'd like to... Anybody relate? All right. So there's a little bit of an incline from where my car was to go to the gravesite. When I got to the gravesite, I started to pray in the Spirit because if I let my brain involve, if I let my mind control, I was going to lose what God had me there for. There's a song that says, "Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you'll see Jesus. Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, you'll see the King." Doesn't say walk in your emotions. "Walk in the Spirit of the Lord, and you will find him. He's resurrected, in his body he lives in me." And I had to push that in order to overwhelm the flesh. There are times that you're going to be walking in your flesh and you're going to have everything happening in you to make you feel sorry for what you're going through. And you'll try to readjust your life just to get rid of the pain. But you can't do it. Your best bet is to humble yourself and get on your knees and start digging the weeds out, which is your vision. Because those weeds would choke you and keep you from growing, and the fruit will never make it until you pull out the weeds. And the only one that can do a good job in pulling out weeds is you. So I'm standing at the grave site, the tears are still rolling, and I'm pushing in the Spirit, and I heard one of the verses. I believe it was in Corinthians, and I might be one of those that I gave you. And instantly I had a vision. How many know without a vision people perish? Okay? Now I'm going to stress this. I'm not advertising me, I'm advertising God. I'm advertising what he can do to awaken you to a new understanding of life in the earth. And life in the natural versus the life in the Spirit that's been prepared for us. And I saw myself standing next to that gravesite. I could see the headstone, but it wasn't the natural one. It was the spiritual reality of my father coming out of that grave. And the Holy Spirit says you're going to be there when it happens. And you know what happened to the tears? It switched. It went from life with hopelessness to life with a future. It went from despair to a joy that I would be part of that group that would be there in that cemetery when he would come out of that grave. And the joy of the Lord began to bubble up within me. And I heard a scripture, and I did not go looking for it. I could go back in my archives, and I could find it. But what's important is not that it was a written word. It was a word out of the word for me. It was alive for me at that moment. I got in the car. I did not know what the scripture said until I opened my Bible, and there it was, confirming that we would be there at the resurrection of the good and the evil. And I wept with joy. I wept with joy. Why am I saying that to you? Because all of us, every single one of us that happened to go into the ground, whether we are in the flesh or not, we will be there when that resurrection happens. We will be there, whether in the flesh or
you're out of the flesh, it doesn't matter. He said, well, how God going to do that?
I remind you, Lazarus was dead for how many days? And he stunk. I have a video in my stuff at home of a pastor in Africa who died. And his wife said, hey, he's going to live. He's got kids to bring up. They put him in the morgue and they embalmed his body. She had faith and she kept declaring, he's going to rise. A gentleman from Germany was sent to Africa. Don't remember the country. Reinhard Bonnke was ministering in the top level of a church. And she instructed the undertaker to bring the body to the church. And they argued, you can't bring that body into the sanctuary. And she says, well, I'm bringing into the church. And they finally relinquished because she was so persistent. So they brought the body and laid it on a table in the basement. Take him out of that coffin and put him in a basement on a table. And as the anointing was upstairs, the resurrection power went downstairs and they weren't praying for him. But the anointing came on his body. And here's the highlight. The man himself testified later that for days the smell of death was still on his flesh. For days after he resurrected, the smell of death was still in his flesh. And it finally disappeared. You see, the power of death may be there, but the power of resurrection is doubled and tripled and quadrupled. It multiplies, and it will eradicate that which was done by darkness. So my message to you today, if you've got a section of you that stinks and is dead, let the resurrection take over. Amen? I've given you enough scripture to tell you that even in the darkness, when people start concentrating on all the hopelessness of life, when it's gone into the grave, Jesus has already made it pure. The grave is purified. It's holy. Be obedient to let it rise out of that grave. And the Holy Spirit will confirm over and over that the saints will again walk in those places in the natural. You see, it's not to go into the heavenlies and lay down on a cloud that your future is. It's to occupy the earth and make it holy. For his creation was designed to be holy. It wasn't designed with death involved. It was designed for life. And life will rule and reign in the earth. It will be completed. Jesus isn't finished with any one of us yet. And those who've gone to the grave, they're not going to stay there. They're going to come out. Amen. And all of God's people said,
amen.